The Sangha today is the 19th of June. We are in Upper Hamlet, Plum Village, the meditation hall, Stillwater. Today, in Paris, there are a number of students led by monastic in Paris, of our center in Paris, to go for a sitting in Cité Universitaire. Today have been organized by the Wake Up Group in Paris, who organized for a sitting at Cité Universitaire in Paris. They asked people to bring their picnic lunch. In United States, the Google is trying to invite Thai to teach to their 30,000 employees. However, we are negotiating with the Chung Khong Thai, Nguyen, and Li Lian Chung is trying to organize a meeting, a teaching at North California, Mountain View, I think. It's the headquarters of Google. This year, we have a teaching for congressmen and senator in Washington, D.C. during my U.S. tour this year in October. The retreat in Vancouver have been full. There's no place. There is also an exhibition of my calligraphy also in Vancouver, and a public lecture. The public lecture tickets are also sold out. Do you hear well? There is one young monastic written to me. He said that her joy to eat one bowl of soup. Dear Thai,
soup bì đỏ.
She's enjoying the bowl of soup of pumpkin. The first spoonful is so delicious, but why at the fifth spoonful is no longer delicious like the first one? It's the same soup, it's same atmosphere, environment. It's also me who is eating. Why the first spoonful is so delicious, but the fifth, the sixth spoonful is no longer delicious? Why? And so I stop eating. I want to look deep. Why? Why the same bowl of soup, same environment, same people around me, same this person who are tasting the soup, but why the fifth, the sixth spoonful is no longer delicious? It's not equally delicious. This person is just young, very young monastic, younger than 1 year old in the monastic life. I stop and I look down deeply and I'm wondering why. I discover because the way we eat, I found that because of the way we eat, we eat in rush. We eat hurriedly. We do not eat mindfully. If the first bowl of soup I taste, I mindfully taste, the second, the third, and then I hurriedly eat, and I do not really look deep and taste. So I discovered that, so every bowl I look deep and I taste, and it's the same, the second. And so I continue to do like that. Every bowl of soup before eating, I look deep, I enjoy the environment, the taste, and then until the end of the bowl of soup, I enjoy the whole bowl of soup, every spoonful. And I wrote this letter for you just for telling you that. When I read that letter, I'm very pleased. I'm very happy. I'm happy to have a good student. Know how to create happiness for herself, for himself. Sometimes, the first time we are very impressed and we love, we taste deeply things as it is. But slowly we do it in brush or in forgetfulness and no longer enjoy. So I on another Dhamma talk I mentioned about a monkey who are enjoying fruit. One day I am eating a kiwi, and then I try to be like the monkey who are eating a fruit. And there is many similarity between me, us, and the monkeys. First of all, they eat with their hand. We also eat with we handle our food. Second similarity is they are vegetarian. The monkeys are vegetarian. We are also vegetarian. So human beings are born to be vegetarian, not for eating flesh. So the before coming to the monkeys, their teeth of a tiger or a mouse are very sharp. But when we arrive to Homo erectus is from the monkey, and we are standing up, and so I see that we are continuation of the monkeys, and I took the kiwi, I cut, and I take a coffee spoon, and I take, and so when I finish the tasting, the chewing, and slowing, and then I take another spoonful. So it's the same for this monastic I just mentioned. The main point is not to do it in rush, in forgetfulness. We have to finish totally one spoonful, and then when we have to finish totally one mouthful, and then you do not prepare the second spoonful and wait for until you swallow. So you will not. So you have to finish the whole spoonful. You really enjoy it, and after that, the second spoonful will be also delicious. And so I think that the monkey also can enjoy the first bite of fruit, but maybe after that they prepare to eat, and they are no longer mindful. And we too. So we have to live relaxingly, taste the whole spoonful, the second mouthful, taste totally. So you continue to nourish your happiness and your joy. The difference between us and the monkey is the awareness, the degree of awareness. The degree of awareness of ourselves is higher. If we eat a fruit, we know that we are eating a fruit. I'm sure that when the monkey eats a good fruit, the monkey knows that is a good fruit. We can only need to see the monkey, the way they eat. We know that it's a good fruit. And so when it's a good fruit, we also enjoy the good taste. But our awareness is clearer, deeper than a monkey. And so our awareness is knowing where we are, where we sit, what we are eating. If we can dwell peacefully in the present moment, deeply of where I am, in which environment I eat what, and here is the taste of that food. And so the deep look in the present moment can embrace not only the present moment, but they embrace also the past, and they can envision and embrace the future. They can contend eternity, even the present moment, but it contends eternity. We are aware that we are present in the moment, and that moment, if it's more is deep, more is deep, more is embrace the whole environment, the whole past, the whole future. When a person, a first human being, can, instead of stand on four limbs, they stand on two limbs only, they have the name, the first name, Homo erectus. In the past, a mammifer will walk with four limbs, and then the first time a monkey start to stand up, and the two hand is liberate. And liberate, they know what. So they don't need to walk. So they can do things that the two feet cannot do. And then they elaborate the two hands properly, and they can skillfully do that. And then they elaborate more technology, and then they create many, many means, and then by doing so, there is a collaboration with our mind, our brain, and so the brain elaborate, the brain develop, and so the brain of a human being is four times bigger than the brain of a monkey, and a person, such an mammifer will become Homo sapiens. Sapiens means wisdom. The Latin word means wisdom. During that evolution, our mindfulness manifest and more clearer. Of course, when the monkey eat the fruit, they are much want to eat the fruit, but maybe the first chop, the first bite. So we also develop mindfulness. So mindfulness can pull our deeper and deeper the number of things that we do not discover. And so the mindfulness in Sanskrit called smriti. And we know what happened in the space, in time, in the moment where we are, in which environment. And more you are dwell peacefully, deeply in the present moment, more you embrace the past, the present, the future, time, space. And you touch the eternity, every Every second is an eternity. In the present moment, you know what happened in your body, in your mind, in your environment, and then you see deeply also the root, the growth in the future. So the Buddha represents a kind of species on earth we can call Homo conscious. At the beginning, Homo sapiens, no, mammifer, and mammifer start to stand up, use two free hands, two free limbs, and then they come Homo erectus, and then more and more they develop the skill of the hand and the mind, so they call Homo sapiens. And now we try to develop Homo conscious. Depends on the microphone, on the microphone on Thai's cloth. The human standing up, the human of wisdom, the human of consciousness, of mindfulness. So Homo conscious is when you stand up, you know that you are standing up. You are sitting, you know that you are sitting. You are eating or you are drinking, you know what you are eating or you are drinking. And we want, we are a kind of species on earth who go in the direction of awareness, of mindfulness. Some philosopher ask whether among the species on earth beside human beings, is any other species who have consciousness, who have mindfulness? Experience the horse can also make calculation, but be aware or not, we don't know. We are searching to see whether the animals, we speak about the monkeys who are eating the fruit, so we are not sure that they have mindfulness like a human, but maybe we say that in a more subjective way, we say that only human beings have awareness. Maybe the monkey or the horse have no consciousness. They can have conscience, but they are not mindful. And somebody said that, you are not a monkey, how you know that they don't have mindfulness? You must be a monkey in order to know that the monkey have mindfulness or not have mindfulness. You are not a horse, how you can declare that the horse have no mindfulness? We can answer, you are not me, how you know that I don't know or I know? The musician Trần Công Sơn, in a letter written to his girlfriend Yao An, he said something like that. Maybe in some moment of our life, I need to be a little bit zen. I need to be more meditating. Be aware that we need to be aware. We need to practice awareness, mindfulness. We must be a lot of some meditating in order to survive. In a letter sent to his girlfriend 3 months before he passed away, the musician said something like, the main point is how to discover a little joy in your daily, a little joy, and enjoy that little joy right away. Maybe we can consider like the wheel, the testament, the last wheel of the musician. The musician have never married, and he has a girlfriend who continued to write letters like that. And he know that the practice of meditation is so important and can push away our suffering. And so we enjoy the little joy in our dailies at the moment. And the last letter was in email. He passed away in 2001. It's in email. Yeah. That, there is that sentence. The main point, the most important in your life, that you must try to find little joy in the very moment, and you enjoy that. For me, this is the most important. There's nothing more important than that. Of course, when he went through all the suffering, up, down, and then you can discover, that you discover something very profound, and that profound discovery he want to transmit to the continuation, the continuate generation. So he said that maybe thiền is come from jhana. Jhana in Japanese called zen, but in Vietnamese thiền. In Chinese is jhana. So jhana, it means the practice of Buddha, stopping and looking deeply. So we need to have a little bit of stopping and looking deeply, and it will help you to survive the most difficult situation. In fact, Trần Công Sơn is still alive. He do not pass away. And those who admire him are there. And he is in each of us. If we admire some of his music, he is in us. But you must know his last will is to enjoy a little joy in the dailies. Every little joy, you have to look deep, enjoy it, and be happy right away. And if we practice that methods, and we can create a little joy, the whole day you have plenty of little joy, and enjoy it, and enjoy that little joy, and then it calms down our suffering, and you are clearer, you are more calm, and then you see clear and how to get out of your suffering, your difficulties, in beauty. So the little monastic who wrote to me about the soup of pumpkin soup, and then she's practicing for Trần Công Sơn, for that musician, she discovered her way to enjoy totally one spoonful of soup. The second spoonful of soup, the third spoonful of soup, the 1 minute, 2 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hour of our daily. And sure, that monastic know that the joy is not only eating a bowl of soup, but the joy could be when you make a step peacefully, serenely, relaxingly from that hamlet of Tang Tho. Tang Tho is the hamlet for the sister in Thailand, and go to the hamlet of Trai Quang is the hamlet for the brother. So you see that you still have your youth, you still have, you can breathe in and out freely, you can have two strong, healthy, relaxing feet, and every step is a 1 spoonful of pumpkin soup. I walk in the compound of fragrant creek of my hermitage. Every step bring me joy, peace. Sitting on the car from the new hamlet to up hamlet, being able to sit on the car, knowing that I am going to have the whole day of mindfulness together with my friends, my student, I'm happy. And so I enjoy the present moment where I'm sitting on the car. I enjoy the present moment with the field of flower, of wheat around, and I enjoy that I'm coming to up hamlet. I enjoy that I'm going to have wonderful day, but I enjoy the present moment. So sometimes we know, but we forget to put into practice. So if we don't know, we know the principle, but we forget to do it. So when we have some suffering, instead of do it, we rock room in, pour some alcohol and drink. And so many people could, like that musician, he drank a lot of alcohol. So he wrote so beautiful like that, but maybe when he's in difficulty, he just drank some alcohol. And so you have to be, sometimes we know the way, but we don't practice. And then I'm thinking, I look at the rose and I said, "Rose, do you have any message to send to the Sangha?" And I see the rose smile. The rose said that my presence is already a message. The rose come to us and stay with us only a few days, 5, 6, 7 days. But the rose make on her effort to be beautiful, fresh, exhibit on the color, freshness of the rose. And one day, the rose will be with us. We too, we are presenting ourselves in the present moment. And we do our best to be present. The rose have done her best. Beautiful freshness for during the whole 5, 6, 7 days. We too, we can do it beautifully, we can be beautifully great. Every moment, every hour, every day. Do we do that? Or we waste our time on worries, anger, irritation, and so on? The rose silently smile, but I received the message, and today I want to transmit the message of the rose to you. The rose make her best of 5 days, 6 days, 7 days to life. You do it 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 60 years, 70 years to life. Freshly, joyfully, wisely, beautifully. We think that 100 years is more than 5 years of a rose. I'm not sure. 100 years is nothing if you live in forgetfulness. You enter into the practice, you see first, when you first arrive to this practice, you can see the path. Kiến đạo, it means see the path. But see the path and realizing the path is two different things. You see that life has so many suffering, and more you think, and sometimes thinking too much is make too lot of confusion. And so I'm not against the thinking, but when you think and you see a lot of confusion, so why don't you go back to the present moment and look deeply? And then when you are deep in the present moment, the future will come by itself, clear, calm, beautiful by itself. And so we have taught by the Buddha, breathing in mindfulness, walk in mindfulness, breathe in mindfulness, walk in mindfulness, sit in mindfulness, speak in mindfulness, eat in mindfulness, work in mindfulness. And why something arises during that moment, you are aware of that. While you walk, there is one thought come, so you are aware of that thought. And keep it there. Don't let them carry you away from your walking. And then touch with the joy that you are still walking happily, peacefully, solidly. Brushing your teeth is a moment of joy. Wash the dish is a joy. Clean the vegetable is a joy. Every moment is a joy. And in Blomlish, if you spend 1 day or 2 day or 5 day in Blomlish, you have to train yourself for that only. And if you can train for 1 day and 5 day and 6 day, you will do it at home. And so you can see the path, but then you put into practice. And to put into practice is to see your suffering and to get out of the suffering. Everybody have seen, all of you here have seen the path. But putting into practice depend on the degree of your practice. And so that young monastic, she tasted the first bowl of soup, but first spoon of soup. And then at the sixth spoon, she said, oh, why is not so good? So she stopped. And so she looked deeply and she said, because I didn't really enjoy. I only hurried to finish the bowl. And when she see the path like that, and then she decide to put into practice the second spoonful, the third spoonful. And that is practicing the path, realizing the path. So when you see the path, you have to train yourself to realize the path every second. When you see the path, right away put into practice, please. What the young monastic, she successful right away. And then when she realized it, and then she feel delicious again. So that, I mean, realizing the path. She realized her path. And when we see the path, we put into practice the path, we realize the path. And the three phases, the first seeing the path, practicing the path, realizing the path. Three phases, seeing the path, practicing the path, realizing the path. It can happen in a few minutes when you finish a bowl of soup. And when you are watering, also the same. Watering the vegetable, the garden, vegetable garden, you can realize at the first seeing the path, practicing the path, realizing the path. You are cooking for the Sangha, you are sweeping the floor for the Sangha, you are watering the tree for the Sangha. It can bring you happiness right away. You see the path, you practicing the path, you realize the path. Every moment is a three phase can make you happy right away. The message of the Buddha, the message of me, is to show you the path only. I cannot realize the path for you. I cannot practicing the path for you. It's you must practicing your path and realize your path. So Kiến Đạo is seeing the path. Tu Đạo is practicing the path and realizing the path. And if you can do this thing, you can do other thing. You can do it in a bowl of soup. You can realizing the path by eating a bowl of soup. One day is a very difficult situation. You see the path, but you put into practice, it's not easy. And then realizing the path is more difficult because so don't think that Trần Công Sơn passed away. Is here. His beloved girlfriend is here. And he has seen the most important thing is stopping and inviting your suffering to leave and enjoy the little things of beauty in life, little beauty of life. And you have been transmit easily that practice. I remember in the past, in France, they have publicity on yogurt. And then they advertise like eat slowly, eating slowly, eat slowly so that it can last long. So you have so delicious yogurt. If you eat rush, and in half minute is finished. But if you know how to eat slowly, enjoy every spoonful, and then it lasts long. But they didn't mention about mindfulness, but that is eating in mindfulness. So mindfulness is not uniquely from Buddhism. That is the wisdom of humanity. And so we practice mindfulness is to practice to be fully present, fully deep. You walk in a way that every step makes you happy. You walk in a way that every step brings you more happiness, more freedom, free from all your worries and anxiety, judgment, and then your miserable miserable things around you. So here you have plenty of time to do that. So you see, you all see the path. I only need you to practice and to realize. So that young sister can do it, you can do it for many little things, and some when you have a big difficulty, you also can do it. You see, you stop, and then you look deeper, and then you find a way you are out to go out. In the sutra, it mentioned a mountain of treasure of gold and silver. And if we walk and we are lost in the mountain of a lot of golden and silver and treasure, if while walking, and you are lost in that wealthy mountain, and normally you must be a wealthy person, is right? You too. You are lost in the world of practicing mindfulness. And you see that every second of practicing mindfulness, you discover a jewel, that little flower on the road, that little green blade of grass, that everything, the sunshine, everything, you have plenty of jewel around you. When you live deeply in the present moment, and then, so don't go to that wealthy mountain and go back home with empty hand. It means practicing 1 week here, one day here. When you go back home, you have to bring on these jewels. Every moment when you walk at your home, at your office, you have to be happy, joyfully discover many wondrous things in your place. Don't go back home as a poor beggar of happiness. And then you continue to be very sad and irritated, stressful, my own thing. So happiness can be found in the present moment, even where you are in the present moment. If you know how to practice on the train, on the plane, at a very noisy place, in your office, in the supermarket, you can discover many little things to enjoy. So the message of the rose have been given to you, okay? Accomplished mission from the rose. Now we study the sutra. Last time people complained, this is only sutra, no concrete message. So today he shares a message before the sutra. So the sutra Agama number 239. No English yet. This sutra and if we learn together, we can contribute and we can put into practice during the summer retreat and during the autumn retreat during my tour in the US. The first at all, walking by your heart. The summer opening is a kind of voyage, of travel. And then touring with Thai is a tour. So, but you have to tour, you have to walk with your heart, don't walk with in forgetfulness, in lost. We know that every minute of our life is so precious. Every minute is an occasion for us to be happy, practicing to be happy. If you practice and you are not happy, what is the use to practice? If you practice but you try hard to suppress your legs, you try hard to force to do like that, that is not practicing. Practicing skillfully practice. So in Vietnamese expression that if you skillfully practice, you float and you swim joyfully. But if you don't practice well, you will be drowned. So practicing well, it means you know that every minute of your life is so precious. You have to dwell peacefully in the present moment. So our aspirants are waiting for our practice. Every minute of our life as a monastic is so precious. Or as a practitioner is so precious.
Cái bản phát là tiếng Hán Việt không hiểu gì hết trơn. Con dịch cũng không được luôn, tại con cũng không hiểu tiếng Hán Việt.
I cannot translate because I know Vietnamese and Chinese. So I will read in English for you. Even that our life is every minute is so precious. It's an occasion for us to be happy. Even we are stay home or we go in a monastery. Every minute. We stay home or we are touring, when we walk, when we dwell peacefully in the present moment, it's a good occasion for us to offer to life and to people around us. We share not only by our words, our speeches, by our effort to convince the other. You only practice. You don't need to convince anyone. You don't need to persuade anyone to join your way. You are fresher, you are deeper, you are calmer, you listen more carefully. That is the way you share. We know that when we are stay home, we join the tour. This is an occasion for us to enjoy the Sangha, enjoy brotherhood, sisterhood, enjoy the presence of people and stay around us, find the beauty of each of them, appreciate them, and helping them to be in touch with their own happiness. And help them to transform and reduce their difficulties. The first one is when you work together with people, you have to enjoy the presence of each other. Without the presence of each other, you cannot work. Of course, in the monastery, it's a brotherhood. It's so important. Sisterhood is so important. But in your office, you also can enjoy those who work with you. You see their value, you appreciate, you make them happy. And then by doing so, you can create a kind of brotherhood in the work. So when you are staying at home, so in a monastery, or you join Thai in the tour, you would do the same. And don't consider the work as more important than brotherhood and sisterhood. So the first aim is to recognize the presence of each other and see the sisterhood or the brotherhood. And the second thing is to make other to be happy, make those who come to us to be happy. And we see clearly that if we cannot be happy, we do not have sisterhood, brotherhood, you do not see the enjoy the presence of our sister around us, our brother around us, our friend who come to pilgrimage around us. And then you, if you cannot enjoy, and then you cannot help. The disputing of happiness will be successful only if you have your own happiness. You know how to enjoy the present moment and the presence of friends around you and the presence of the practice. We know that is the aim, the main aim of this tour. Tour is, could be a summer retreat or the tour with Thai. That is a gift from our heart to those who come to us during our summer retreat. During the tour. We all know this thing, I only remind you. There is many occasion to work together, to be aware of the presence of sister and brother around us is a happiness, a happy moment. We have seen that there are so many misery in the world. Pain, hurt, wounds, stress, anger, loneliness, despair. We have brothers, sisters in the Sangha, in the practice. We have brothers and sisters in the practice, working together. We have to be aware of that. So, be able to stay together happily. That is a happy moment. If you lose brotherhood, you lose sisterhood, you have nothing. The second point is you have an opportunity to help people, to help life. You have that skill. you have a chance to help people, and you help them to suffer less. Now I have the text. In fact, the text Thay distribute to each of us who are going to be in the tour of Thay in United States and in the tour, so-called, of helping summer retreatants. So there is many points. 18 points today that I just start by. Touring from the heart. The second point, touring as a practice. The third point, Sangha happiness. Yeah, walking, touring is a practice. It's not for labor. We every day, every second, every hour of touring is a joy of practice. We are aware that touring practice is part of our training as a monastic. During a tour of teaching like that, joining me, you monastic, you have a chance to learn. That is a part of our training. So in summer retreat, it's the same, this kind of tour. And those who stay here in Plum Village, the sister and the brother, you have to consider like every summer is not for labor, it's not for work of service, but it's a training. And so during the whole trip or during the whole summer, we have to be aware that is a training. So we have to keep the precept properly, the five manners properly. To go out, you have to have the second body. Even not in the name that, oh, I have to go to buy something quick for the Sangha, so I don't need a second body and accident can happen. And so during the trip in United States is the same. You have to keep your five manners properly, your precept, your training as a monk or nun properly. And maintain your mindfulness and your concentration. Things to make a monastic different from a non-monastic, or a practitioner of mindfulness different from a non-practitioner of mindfulness, is you are mindful, you walk finely, serenely. And if you are monastic and you don't walk finely, serenely, you are no longer a monastic. Even you wear a monk or nun robe. And then you have to keep your five manners properly, walk mindfully, work mindfully, finally, and keep the breath up. And when you walk, when you sit, when you work, if you keep your 5 minutes, your breath up, you inspire people to practice mindfulness. And that is the image, a beautiful image of a practitioner of mindfulness. You walk in a very fine way. You speak in a very fine way. You act, you work in a fine way. And you inspire people. And so, especially you wear a monk or nun robe, you have to do it more beautifully, more clearly, like clearer than the lay practitioner. And so you have to see that this trip is a training. Of course, before going, we need a number of things to do. But it doesn't mean that you abandon your practice. Summer retreat, we will receive a lot of people and quite a number of work. But it doesn't mean that, yeah, because there's so many work, so I don't need to keep my 5 minutes. I can do in rush to go and buy that, to go and buy other thing to fix, so on. You do it mindfully before the arrival of people. So the aim of the summer retreat or the tour is what? To bring happiness. So the third point is to keep happiness. The happiness of whom? First, your own happiness. You walk in the way, you go in the way that you still keep happiness the whole trip. If during the trip you cause a lot of trouble in the Sangha, make people lose happiness, that is not very good contribution. We have to translate it what you just read. Don't consider the tour as an obstacle. Because they have to rush to do that, rush to do other things, so on. So this is an obstacle of your practice of happiness. If the Sangha is harmonious, is happy during the trip, so you can help a lot of people to be in touch with the joy, the peace, the happiness of us. If you don't practice that, if there is no harmony, no happiness, and then those who come to us will not receive much. So we need to be happy. We have to remember that this trip is not priority to visit sites, monuments. It's not for visiting monuments and sites. Even to visit our family out of convenience. Sometimes when you go a new place, there's new site, touristic site. Visit Tulip Field. Sometimes we arrive too close to our family. And if the Sangha allows you to visit your family, so visiting our family is including in the trip. It's a kind of one factor of the trip. So we have to keep your five manners and your precept properly, second body properly. Visit your family with the second body and keep the five manners and the precept properly. If we visit the site, touristic site, we have to go with the Sangha. The Sangha will organize for us to visit, but it's not the priority. Our priority is we arrive to that place, you have to serve for a retreat, for a public talk, and then if it's need to have a tourist site, and then we go together as a Sangha. You also can visit your family with a number of Sangha members. And then, so that visit of tourist site of your family, we consider like the practice in the Sangha, like in the practice during the tour. The practice during the tour, we should aware that the practice of mindfulness, of precept, of five manners, and together with the Sangha is a kind of protection and consider like contributing to the tour of Thai. The way I speak, the way we speak, we act, will in fact we have affection. We have something to do with the tour. If we do beautifully, we make the tour more beautifully. If you act not beautifully, we make the tour not beautifully. But even your smile, your look could be seen. People can see mindfulness in the way you look. People can see mindfulness, inclusiveness, compassion in the way you look, the way you act, the way you speak. So during the summer retreat as well as during the tour, you have to keep that in mind. That is very important. I remember in the trip of 2 or 3 months, we go to Asia, to go to the West. We people see the way we walk, the way we sit. And some people say that they see the schedule of 3 months is too heavy, because especially Thai, with that age, and then 3 months in Asia is quite a lot, and every day there is one event. And people are scared to look at the schedule. So it's very heavy trip, but we try to enjoy every minute, so there is no word called heaviness. Because if every moment we enjoy, every moment we try to keep the five manners, when difficulty arises, we stop, we look deeply, we are more compassionate on the way we look, and then things will be different. So when rest, or when you speak, you will do something, you expend energy. And so when you speak, you waste energy. So sometimes you make a humoristic comment, but humoristic is not very pleasant and make people irritate. It's not as, so you have to very bear aware of what you are speaking and what you are doing and what you are called seeing, and so it's don't waste any bit of energy you have during the trip. So during the trip I travel 3 months in Asia or 2 months and a half in the United States this time. I will not waste any second of waste. I try to keep my peace, my solidity, my joy in very little thing. If I lose that stability, that peace, and then people around me will not profit from my presence. So we preserve happiness. We preserve our happiness for me and for the Sangha and for those who approach us. And many monastics have done their best in order for people to approach us and joy. So you do it as at your best. And don't waste our time in non-necessary activities. For instance, go like hiking. And when I go hiking, I do it relaxingly, joyfully. But if I see that hiking is a little bit dangerous, it can break my legs, so I will not go. Some place is very steep. So some people enjoy hiking, but it's so dangerous, and then it can break our legs. And then I like hiking, but I know that it's dangerous. I will not go. And well, last trip, Thầy Pháp Trí also go to a steep place for hiking, and he have difficulty, almost break his feet. And then so Thầy said that my feet is your feet, your spine, my spine. Thai's spine is your spine, so I have to do it properly. My feet is yours, your feet. So I have to preserve my feet properly. I don't want to break my feet or have any orthodox, how you say?
Orthodox, how you say in English? Orthodox.
So we have to save every act, very mindful act for our feet, and not only for those who tour, but those who stay home. Stay home is also a tour at home. And if one of you have a broken legs, it's also the whole community will have broken legs. We enter our next. We'll continue next time.
Spring. Orthodox is getting my dad. Not rupture, is only orthodox is mean just.
I know in Dutch, but I don't know what it
means. Is it the mean? Spring.